All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today is April 24th, 2026. And a top story this morning, Intel is ripping. The year 2000 called and they want their headline back. The stock, the last I looked, was up 26% after being up as much as 31% earlier this morning on a big earnings beat and a raise of their guidance. So what the heck is going on with Intel? Well, this is the AI story. Now, Intel has been known for the last several years as an AI laggard, right? Like your grandmother's chip company. They haven't done anything exciting in years. Yeah, they rode the dot-com boom and the PC boom, and they've been kind of stagnant, dead money ever since. As a matter of fact, even after today's big rip, you're pretty much just breaking even if you bought this stock at the top in the year 2000 before the dot-com bubble burst. But the story that goes right now, or at least what's being said, is that they're seeing surging demand for CPUs, central processing units, because of the development of agentic AI or these AI agents. Now, guys, I'm a little out of my technical wheelhouse here, so I'm going to limp through this one. But it appears that there is a shift underway in the AI hardware market away from GPUs, which are more focused on training, towards the use of CPUs for these AI agents for inferencing, which means like basically running them, executing once you've trained your model. Now, Intel is ripping on this story, but we've got another story involving CPUs this morning as well. Meta and Amazon have signed a multi-billion dollar deal for chips. Now, it seems like your run-of-the-mill AI headline that we've seen over and over again for the last 3 years, all these big billion-dollar chip deals. Seems like just another Friday. But the deal in this case is for these Graviton chips that Amazon is making. Graviton is a CPU as well. And they're saying that they need CPUs for agentic AI. So that is two big headlines this morning, all centered around CPUs over GPUs. Now, even as that is going on, yesterday we got a story that just had me falling out of my chair laughing about Supermicrocomputer, SMCI, my favorite fraud company in the world. Not my favorite. They're in like top 10 favorite frauds, and there's a lot of them. The list is pretty long because it's the 2020s. But Supermicro is up there. We've been covering this company for a while on this channel. Their stock fell hard yesterday on news that they lost a multi-billion dollar deal with Oracle to use their server racks in an Oracle data center, and that they're also losing business with xAI. And the real kicker in this story was that they're talking about stranded GPU inventory that Supermicro has apparently thousands of these B200 Blackwells that they can no longer, they're having a hard time finding a buyer for. Now, how do you contrast that with all of the crazy Eddie demand is insane, Jensen Huang in his stupid jacket at some tech conference somewhere talking about how there's just insane demand everywhere? Well, how does that jive with Supermicro unable to find a home for their B200s? These are the Blackwells, the current generation. It's not like the old hardware. So that's kind of interesting. That's all according to a report by Bluefin Research that came out yesterday. And this is all against the backdrop of their co-founder, Wally Law, who was indicted for the world's worst kept secret, illegal chip sales to China. We all knew that was happening. I've been covering that for years on this channel. They finally admitted it. And that's the same Wally Law who was fired in 2021 and then rehired after their two accounting scandals ago. And then they had their other accounting scandal in 2024 where they were almost delisted before they paid BDO to come rubber stamp their books while leaving all this stuff in the asterisk in the notes that says basically this company is full of shit, danger, do not invest here, but we'll sign off on it anyway because they paid us enough. Yeah, they never did resolve those accounting irregularities at Supermicro. They just put a footnote on all their earnings releases since then and said, yep, everything we say is full of it. Anyways, I just love that company. So look at these three stories in aggregate. You got Intel ripping on CPU sales after they were left behind by the boom in GPUs. You've got Meta and Amazon signing a big deal for more CPUs. And you've got Supermicro stuck with a bunch of GPUs that they can't move. It's only one day. It's only a couple of data points on one day. But it seems like there is an industry shift. And if that is going on, well, that's significant because everything for the last 3 years has been centered around how can we buy up and build as many GPU data centers as possible and figure out some way to power them so that we can train these models. It seems the market is shifting to inferencing. Hey, it's just what I see happening out there today. Now, we've got one more story about data centers that's kind of hilarious as well. Fermi, ticker FRMI. This is former Texas Governor and Secretary of Energy Rick Perry's data center power startup. Fermi is this new company. They IPO'd not too long ago, and they're going to build this big campus in Texas, this energy super center. They said they were going to have four giant Westinghouse AP1000 nuclear reactors on this campus. We built two of them down south, and it bankrupted Westinghouse, and then we abandoned two others that were halfway complete. But don't worry, this politician is going to build four of them somehow. So that company was in the news earlier this week when the CEO and the CFO both abruptly resigned out of nowhere. The now former CEO said, you know what, I think we should sell the company and then we should fire the board of directors. And then the rest of the board of directors said, no, we're not going to do that. They still don't have a tenant for this massive data center campus that they're trying to build. And well, the CEO and the CFO both just abruptly quit. So that's a lot of things happening in the data center space today. Even as all of this is going on, more and more people continue to be fired, fed into the meat grinder of burning cash on AI CapEx. We've got Meta is cutting 10% of their workforce this morning, 8,000 people laid off, another 6,000 open roles that they're not going to fill. And you'd be forgiven for thinking this, like checking the date, making sure this isn't an old video you're watching. No, this is a new story. This is the third time since January. I think I held up three fingers there. Third time since January that Meta has announced thousands of layoffs. And this is all while burning billions of dollars on all this crazy stuff. I mean, Meta will be the last company to cut their CapEx. They will fire everybody up to and including Zuckerberg before they finally slow their AI CapEx. But more people on the chopping block there. And Nike is also doing it. Nike is cutting 1,400 people, primarily in their technology department. So we've got two headlines about mass layoffs here. The situation in the job market certainly not getting any better this morning. We talked about Avis Rent-A-Car yesterday, about the short squeeze that was underway. Stock fell 48% after we talked about that one. So we'll check in with Avis and see what's going on there. We've got this Indian private credit borrower. This story is pretty crazy. They're delaying payment on this zero coupon bond that they have. It's a 20.75% yield on this bond, and everybody is surprised that they're delaying payment. All right, guys, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If somebody is promising you a 20.75% yield, it's because they can't pay you back. All right, if you ever see a yield that high, run. Do not walk for the exits. Investors in this Indian private credit bond are learning the hard way about that one this morning. More problems in private credit. And last but not least, this story. This one's just got me shaking my head. A U.S. Army soldier who was involved in the Maduro raid in Venezuela was just arrested because he made $400,000 betting on Polymarket that the U.S. would attack Venezuela. A U.S. Army master sergeant betting on a mission that he was involved in. I mean, that's taking insider trading to a whole new level. And, you know, look, there's some people are out there saying like, well, you know, if we're going to prosecute this, why aren't we prosecuting that? And that's, you know, look, we've got somebody is out there making hundreds of millions of dollars on almost a daily basis trading oil futures around President Trump's Truth Social posts. But we're arresting the sergeant who made $400,000 on Polymarket. And we should, right? We should be arresting this guy. But let's arrest all the criminals. Let's not pick and choose who we're going to prosecute. Fraud and theft and white-collar crime is becoming so widespread that people are using it as an excuse to commit rampant blue-collar and violent crimes. This is societal breakdown happening in front of us. I mean, fraud, theft is becoming so common that everybody thinks it's okay because the other guy gets away with it. Well, then what do we become if that is left to continue? Extrapolate that trend. Eventually, we become a civilization of thieves. It's anarchy down that road. I tell you, the SEC, the CFTC, all our financial regulators, you better get your shit together, because white-collar crime is causing big problems everywhere in the economy. Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head, and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. But before we do that, don't forget that like button and the subscribe button for you new guys so you can come back tomorrow, because we do this one every single day. Right now, the S&P 500 is positive, just barely up 17 points. You may notice here these green shoots start at around 7 a.m. Eastern time today. The market went on quite a little bit of a rip. There was a post about an anonymous person familiar with the matter in Pakistan who was cautiously optimistic that there could be a breakthrough to possibly beginning talks with Iran today. The market takes this anonymously sourced wishy-washy language maybe story and ripped about 100 points on that, now giving up all those gains, but still just barely positive for the S&P 500. The Dow is negative by 115 points, about a quarter of a percent lower. Again, ripping on this Pakistan news that has since gone away. But the NASDAQ is leading the way higher, being driven almost exclusively by that big rip in Intel this morning. 292 points higher for NASDAQ, 1.1% to the upside. Meanwhile, we've got a U.S. dollar that's a little bit weaker this morning at 98.68, off by 15 basis points. Looking over at the bond market, we've got a mixed bag this morning. The 30-year yield is down a fraction of 1 point at 4.915%. The 10-year yield also off by a fraction of a point at 4.323. The 2-year yield is up by almost 1 point, 3.833. And the 1 month is down 2.5 points here at 3.663%. Not a lot happening in the bonds again. Looking over at Bitcoin, we're still hovering around 78,000, down by about 200 bucks from where we were a few days ago. I'm sure Michael Saylor and his new infinite money glitch Stretch are still out there buying Bitcoin, but price not really moving this morning. Looking over at the commodities board, we got a little bit of red in metals. Spot gold is down just barely, off by $1.50, $4,692 an ounce for spot gold, off by 0.03%. June COMEX gold futures are off by about 15 bucks at 47.08. Spot silver is at 75.48. That's up by about 3 cents, or 0.04%, going a whole bunch of nowhere. May COMEX silver futures are at 75.48. That's lower by 2 cents, or 0.03%. Silver price isn't moving this morning, but I still like the shiny. Copper is lower by 1.3%. Platinum is lower by almost 2%. Palladium is off by about 0.2%. And WTI crude oil is at 96.35, currently higher by 50 cents, or about 0.5% for June WTI futures. Let's look at the oil chart here. You can see we were kind of bouncing around a little bit. We went as high yesterday as 98.50. There was, again, the information coming out of Iran, it's so hard to tell what's real because there's so much BS that's being posted in social media. There were stories about the parliamentary speaker in Iran had resigned from the negotiating team and the IRGC radicals were taking over. And then some Iranian journalists refuted that story. It's really hard to know what's real. The internet is still shut down largely in Iran, so it's hard to get any accurate information out of that country that isn't gone through propaganda spokespeople. At the same time, we've got our Truth Social in chief who just says whatever the hell he wants without any regard for the truth. So it's really hard to know what's up. Oil been bouncing around between $92 and $98 a barrel for the last 2 days, currently kind of right in the middle of that range at $96.28. Hey, look, I mean, Friday is typically when things go to shit, right? We have our wars on weekends, and then we have our tacos or our miraculous breakthroughs by the time markets open Monday morning. So I see no reason to expect otherwise this weekend. But let's talk about the big story this morning. This is what's driving markets. Intel stock surges 28% after earnings. Why AI can keep driving the rally. There's Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan. Intel stock was surging 28% ahead of the open on Friday as the chipmaker's strong recent rally looked set to go to another level after its first quarter earnings. Adjusted EPS were 29 cents a share, well ahead of Wall Street's consensus estimate of 2 cents a share and up from 13 cents last year. Big beat on EPS. Revenue for the quarter reached $13.6 billion, above expectations for $12.4 billion. Big beat on revenue as well, also up 7% on the year. Intel's guidance for the second quarter was also better than expected, with sales seen growing 11% at the midpoint of its forecast range. and a much improved gross profit margin. Intel overperformed in both of its end markets. Sales for PCs weren't as badly impacted as expected by the memory shortage that's driving up prices, and data center sales grew by 22%. In recent months, we have seen clear signs that the CPU is reasserting itself as the indispensable foundation of the AI era, CEO Lip-Bu-Tan said on the company's earnings call. The upside potential of Intel's CPU strength remains undervalued by the market, HSBC analysts said in a note on Friday as they increased their price target for the stock. They expect CPU shipments to grow by more than 20% in 2026 and 2027, driven by the rise of agentic AI. And look, guys, I'll spare you the technical stuff because, be full disclosure, I don't really understand a lot of it myself. But apparently these AI agents are more reliant on CPUs versus the older chatbots, which were pretty much relied on just endless banks of GPUs at data centers. Intel stock is benefiting from that in quite a big way this morning. Stock currently up 25.6% this morning, trading at $83.88, up from a 66.78 close yesterday. Now let's zoom way out on this chart, way out for Intel. Look at this. If you bought Intel at the top in June of, we'll say what, maybe September of the year 2000, congratulations. You just broke even. Your patience has been rewarded. Intel, we're so back. All right, but that's not the only CPU story today. Meta inks multi-billion dollar deal to use Amazon chips for AI. Amazon and Meta have struck a multi-billion dollar deal for the social media giant to rent hundreds of thousands of Amazon's general purpose chips for its AI efforts. The multi-year deal gives Meta access to the Graviton line of processors, said Nafia Shara, an Amazon vice president and co-founder of the company's Annapurna Labs chips unit. Artificial intelligence models capable of generating text or reasoning are typically built using graphics processing units or GPUs from NVIDIA, but AI developers can use general purpose central processing units like Graviton for related tasks, including generating the responses to queries after a model is trained, a process known as inference. The GPUs are useless if you don't have the CPUs next to them, Shara said. All right, so that is our second big AI CPU headline of the morning. Amazon stock doing not a whole lot, up 1.8%, not really moving on this news, $259. And let's just check in on Meta as well, because they're the ones that are buying or renting the chips. Meta stock up 0.25%. So neither company really moving on this announcement. All right, so we got a lot of CPUs moving around this morning. Let's see what's going on with GPUs. This was yesterday. Supermicro tumbles 10% on reported $1.4 billion Oracle contract loss. Turns out your co-founder getting indicted for pretty much being a spy and a cheat. Well, that's not so good for business. Supermicro computer shares fell 10% Thursday after reports emerged that the company lost a significant contract with Oracle for NVIDIA GB300 NVL72 racks. That's the server racks full of GPUs. That's Blackwell GPUs. According to Bluefin Research, Oracle canceled 300 to 400 racks from Supermicro Computer, with each rack valued at approximately $3.5 million, representing a total contract loss of $1.1 to $1.4 billion. The firm estimates that Supermicro had shipped 100 to 200 racks before the cancellation. Gee, I hope they didn't prematurely book that revenue. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. I mean, it's not like Supermicro Computer, whatever channel stuff or prematurely recognized revenue, right? No, only on their second accounting fraud in 5 years. Industry sources cited by Bluefin indicated that Oracle cancellation is believed to be related to the indictment of the Supermicro co-founder for smuggling AI GPUs into China. YWIN is believed to have picked up the rack business, according to the research. Bluefin also noted that Supermicro Computer's XAI business has slowed after completing GB300 rack shipments for the Colossus 2 data center earlier this year, while the Rubin introduction remains several months away. All right, XAI, remind you, was bought by X Twitter, and then SpaceX bought XAI and X Twitter. So really, this is a SpaceX data center. So Supermicro's SpaceX business is now shrinking a little bit, or their XAI business. The firm raised additional concerns about excess B200 GPU inventory at Supermicrocomputer. Supply chain sources described the inventory levels as considerable, according to Bluefin. The company had built up B200 inventory intended for XAI's HGX AI server shipments, but XAI demand shifted to these GB200 racks when shipments accelerated in mid-2025. Those racks were awarded to Dell and HP. Supermicro was later awarded GP300 racks by XAI in the second half of 2025, but has not been able to move the older B200 inventory, according to Bluefin Research. All right, and it's that last part there. Admittedly, guys, I'm going to be upfront. I've got my confirmation bias, right? You know my opinion on the AI data center build out, so of course I'm going to zero in on that line. But if that is true, you better believe that is a big problem, because I have heard nothing but insane demand. Demand is off the charts. We don't have enough compute. People will sell their firstborn to get a GPU. How do you square that with this? Supermicro has not been able to move older B200 inventory. B200s aren't that old, all right? That's still the Blackwell model. I mean, it's not the GB300, which is the newer one. So Supermicro, look, this company, they're a bunch of crooks. This is not the first time they've been in the news for problems, several accounting frauds. Now this indictment, now they're losing this big contract. The stock was down 8.3% yesterday. They got a few percent of that back this morning, up 3.3% ahead of the opening bell. However, let's look at this stock over the last year. You can see it's been a pretty much a long way down since the middle of 2025, shortly after they were relisted, even though BDO signed off on their books. While I mean, the disclaimers put in Supermicro's earnings by BDO in order to get them to sign off, it sounds like the end of a pharmaceutical commercial when they list all the side effects. Basically, you know, all these outstanding issues, problems over internal controls, they haven't resolved any of it. It's been nothing but down since then. And then, of course, we had this big decline about a month ago when Wally Law was indicted for the most obvious crime ever. And now we've got Rick Perry's AI energy startup Fermi faces C-suite drama after a 72% sell-off. You know, this story comes just after that story about Devin Nunes abruptly leaving at DJT earlier this week. It's a bad week for former Republican politicians turned tech startup CEOs and board members. Maybe I'm just trying to make us fit a pattern there. But AI energy startup Fermi has a big name co-founder and former Texas Governor Rick Perry and an ambitious goal to build the world's largest private power grid for a data center campus. The drama around the company these days is also Texas sized. Since skyrocketing in its first day of trading, Fermi has been jolted by challenges, including the loss of a key anchor tenant for its Project Matador site near Amarillo. It told investors in March that it still hadn't signed up customers. The turmoil only worsened with the ouster of CEO and co-founder Toby Neugebauer and the departure of CFO Miles Everson. Yeah, the CEO and the CFO both left within like 48 hours of each other. That's a good sign, right? When the CEO and the CFO both abruptly quit, isn't that bullish? Help me out, tech bros. Am I doing this right? The stock plunged 18% on Monday, flirting with the all-time low of $4.80 set earlier this month. The management shuffle suggested there was friction between customers and Mr. Neugebauer, and negotiations could be simpler going forward, said Stifel Nicholas & Co. analyst Stephen Gengaro in a note. But the week's turmoil wasn't over. Neugebauer publicly called for the company's sale and the resignation of the board, which includes Perry, a former U.S. Energy Secretary. Fermi rebuffed the idea. While the stock rebounded on speculation that there might be a deal, Fermi was still down 72% through Wednesday since trading began. So another one of these, there are so many of these AI energy shitco startups out there. It's really hard to list them all. But Fermi was a pretty egregious example of it. The promises that they have made that we're going to build all this nuclear, all this gas, everything in this one giant private power grid, and all the data centers are going to have to buy their power directly from us. Nobody in this team knows how to do this. They don't have any customers booked. All they did was raise money on a story. And the stock, of course, is down 70 some odd percent since then. It had a nice little rally earlier this week, you know, after the executives were fired. Again, for some reason, that was viewed as bullish. I guess the customers really hate that CEO. But this one, this is another one I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And again, if we zoom all the way out since the IPO last fall, this thing is down 76%. As will go all of these other AI energy startups, there's just too much snake oil for sale right now. All right, now let's talk about the layoffs. Meta will cut 10% of workforce as the company pushes deeper into AI. More people getting cut at Meta. Meta plans to lay off 10% of its workforce, about 8,000 employees, as it continues ramping up investments in AI. The cuts will begin on May 20th, and the company is also scrapping plans to hire people for 6,000 open roles, according to a Thursday memo to employees. Meta's latest round of cuts follows several smaller job reductions that the company said was necessary to improve efficiency while focusing its efforts on generative AI, where it's lagged OpenAI, Google, and Anthropic. CNBC reported in January that Meta had fired about 10% of employees who were working on metaverse-related projects, the previous cash-burning boondoggle. Roughly 1,000 people in the company's Reality Labs unit were let go at that time. Then there was another round of layoffs that commenced in March and affected hundreds of employees working in a variety of units, including Facebook, Reality Labs, Global Ops, and Sales. And then Meta also said last month that it would shift away from third-party vendors and contractors, which have historically handled content moderation, in favor of relying on various AI technologies. Now we've got our fourth announcement where they're letting go 10% of their workforce again. The job cuts just keep piling up at Meta as they just keep burning cash on this thing that will hopefully one day make them some money. By the way, Nike also getting in on this one. Nike cuts 1,400 roles in their second round of layoffs this year. There's not a lot to this story beyond the fact that they're saying it's focused in their technology department. We're going to come out a leaner, more aggressively growing company, all that typical stuff. But a lot of layoffs this morning between Nike and Meta. Also, let's check in on Avis Rent-A-Car. We talked about this one yesterday and the ongoing short squeeze. Well, in the few hours since I posted about that, the stock lost 48%. In a day yesterday. That's after an even bigger decline the day before that. Avis currently up 2.5%, trading at $234.85. Still about 2.5 times. This thing was about $100 right before they started this short squeeze. So it's still way up from where it started, but it looks like this one appears to have run its course. So congratulations if you made money on this one. The people who chased got wiped out as always. And if only there were signs. Let's talk about this one. Top Indian private credit borrower delays paying 20.75% bond. Yeah, you see that 20% number there? That was probably your first indicator that there might be some problem at this company. Nobody borrows at 20% unless there's worries that they can't pay it back or it's a credit card. When you're getting a 20.75% yield on a bond, you mustn't expect all smooth sailing. Shapoorji Pallonji Group, India's biggest private credit borrower and issuer of one of its largest ever junk bonds, has just reinforced that point. Holders of a high-yield note issued by a unit of the infrastructure conglomerate unanimously agreed to let the company delay paying principal and interest to June 30th, people familiar with the matter said. Bondholders of the note issued by Goswami Infratech PVT received a 25 basis point consent fee for agreeing to push back the maturity from April 30th deadlines, the people said, asking not to be identified. The situation serves as a compelling case study for evolving private credit landscape in India, said there's so many names I can't pronounce in this article. Bear with me here, guys. The spokesperson didn't respond to requests for comment. It was India's biggest high-yield note when Goswami Infrastructure issued 143 billion rupees, or about $1.5 billion, of the zero-coupon securities in 2023. A zero-coupon security is a bond that makes no regular interest payments. Upon maturity, the bond pays back all the principal plus all the interest all at once. They borrowed this $1.5 billion. They were supposed to pay it back at the end of April, with 20.75% interest, and now they're saying we need until June, and we'll give you another quarter of a point for that. Well, okay, good luck on that one. The notes are held by a number of global private credit funds, including Cerberus Capital Management, Varde Partners, Davidson Kempner Capital Management, and Deutsche Bank. possibly some contagion risk there. Again, nobody has defaulted or anything. They're just saying we need more time. I'm sure everything's fine. And that 20.75% yield is totally safe. Guys, just a disclaimer, I've said this a number of times. If you see somebody promising you a risk-free 10, 15, 20% yield, run. Do not walk for the exits. And last one of the day. This one makes me kind of sad, guys. U.S. soldier accused of using military secrets to win over $400,000 on Poly Market. Be careful if you're betting on Poly Market or Kelsey or any of these other groups, guys. Understand it is a completely rigged casino where insider trading runs rampant. Other people, the people you're betting against, have information you don't. So just don't go there. Gannon Ken Van Dyke, a Special Forces Master Sergeant who worked at a Fort Bragg in North Carolina, was charged with felonies, including wire fraud and violating the Commodity Exchange Act, federal prosecutors in Manhattan announced. Van Dyke, prosecutors said in a statement, was involved in the planning and execution of Operation Absolute Resolve, the military operation to capture Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro, and had access to sensitive, non-public, classified information about the operation. Prosecutors say he used that information to place 13 bets between December 27th and January 2nd, wagering more than $33,000, in which he had an affirmative position on the question of whether the U.S. would take action in Venezuela or against Maduro. He withdrew his winnings, a profit of $409,881, the day of the U.S. raid on Venezuela, and deposited them first in a foreign cryptocurrency vault and then an online brokerage account, the indictment alleges. The feds say he also took steps to conceal his identity after speculation about the large, curiously timed trades began circulating and asked Poly Market to delete his account using a phony excuse. So, yep, we've got U.S. military members insider trading on classified government operations to seize the leader of a country and install a government that'll do what we want. There's a lot to unpack there. Don't do that, guys. Don't do that. That's not good. It's a golden age of fraud, isn't it? Well, folks, I just want to say thank you very much for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget the like button and the subscribe button. Hey, it's Friday. That means 2 p.m. Eastern time today is our weekly get-together on Zoom for a Q&A for all my Patreon, YouTube, and GoFundMe members. Thank you, GoFundMe, Buy Me a Coffee members. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.